Our reading this morning will be offered by our speaker, Reverend Catherine Clarenbach, and followed by her sermon titled, The Many Phases of Paganism. Catherine has been with us many times before, and she's very happy to be back, and we're happy to have her. She is an affiliated minister with UU Congregation of Atlanta, Georgia, and a practicing Wiccan, and she's very interested in the myth and rituals of world religions.
Thank you so much, Howard. Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading that I offer this morning is a version of a piece of liturgical language often used in Wicca called the Charge of the Goddess. This is a version written by one of my colleagues in 2006 as a way to update our understanding of what it might mean to live a life that honors the divine feminine. Whenever you have need of anything, and I invite you to close your eyes, actually, if you're comfortable with that, as I read this to you. Whenever you have need of anything, call upon me, for I am always beside you. By my loom are you clothed, and by my fields are you fed, and by my touch is your soul comforted in grief. I am your first ancestor, and unto the thousandth generation your descendants shall revere me. For mine is the ecstasy of the spirit, and mine also is joy on earth. For my love is law, my law is love unto all beings. My power is the seedling reaching sunward, and my creed is in the hawk's cry, and all heaven and earth are my temple. Mine is the secret door that swings between life and death, and mine also is the cauldron of rebirth. I demand no sacrifice, for behold, I am the mother of all life, and my love is poured out upon the earth. And now listen to the words of the star goddess, in whose womb are conceived the burning galaxies of heaven, and whose body encircles the universe. I, who am the beauty of the green earth, and the white moon among the stars, and the mystery of the waters, and the desire of the human heart, call out to you, arise and come unto me. I will come also unto you, for all in me is all that exists made sacred. I am the font of secrets and the spiral path the universe dances. Seek me in the light that is in the darkness, and seek me in the dark itself. But know that your seeking and yearning will not avail you unless you know the mystery, that if that which you seek you do not find within yourself, you will not find it without. For I have been with you from the beginning, and I am that which is attained at the end of all desire. So I realized, as I approached this enormous topic, that I can only say really a few things about the few forms of what I, and the emphasis is on the singular I, might say about paganism, or maybe paganisms. And furthermore, that one honest, authentic story of one woman's journey to the tradition of stone circle Wicca might be more valuable than all the lecturing or teaching or information I could give you about the various pagan paths I know. Paganism is a great big tent that holds so many religions. It's a hard thing, a slippery thing to get your arms around. But I'll give you a quick little snapshot. Pagan paths do not usually share a sacred text, but I just gave you an example of an exception. In many traditions, we write our own texts, our own words of depth and insight and intuition. We create what is called a book of shadows as we move along in our own study and experience. Rather than established sacred texts, many of our faiths share ritual actions, ceremonies, ways of creating initiatory experiences, and systems of ethics. Pagan paths may revere the earth as a deity in her own right, or they may not. Pagan paths are most often, I love this word, get ready, henotheist, which means I've got my gods that I worship, you've got yours, and that's fine. Some pagan traditions, like Stone Circle Wicca, the one to which I belong, are mystery traditions, which is to say, we have some things shared in public and some things that are wrapped up like presents, tied with bows, and can only be experienced, not explained or given away. And some pagan traditions, also like the Stone Circle tradition, are eco-feminist, pro-queer, politically progressive organizations. And some, like some fringe groups of Norse heathenry, are white eugenicists. And others insist that non-binary or genderqueer people don't exist. It's complicated, see? Hardly any sacred texts, lots of varying practices. And you'll notice I'm not mentioning traditions like Native American ones, African diaspora traditions, or other indigenous animist traditions like Shinto. Some people would include these as pagan, but I don't. They are their own hundreds to thousands of years old traditions, and they each have their own identities I cannot claim or name. Anyway, the longer I thought about trying to explain the various forms of druidry, heathenry, Wicca, Strega, solitary practice, I started to cry. I'm not kidding. I wrote a note on Facebook to some of my ministerial friends last night at 8 o'clock saying, I've written this sermon and I don't know if it makes any sense. But I think you'll find it does. Because I've decided to preach what I know. Preach what has been given to me in this life. My story. And I have come to know you, many of you, well enough to know that you may appreciate the simplicity of one woman's preaching about her movement to Wicca from the religion of her youth. Preaching about my heart and about my other non-UU religious home. Preaching about how I became a priestess of Stone Circle Wicca, what our ethics and beliefs are, and what our practices look like. lots of people know that there are Unitarian Universalists who identify as polytheist, earth-based, earth-relating, or pagan. They may even have a cups chapter in their congregation. Who knows what cups is? Yeah, a few. It's the covenant of Unitarian Universalist pagans. Folks may understand that the leaps between some kinds of paganism and Unitarian Universalism are not so far, and that it's relatively common to have a blended or bi-religious UU pagan identity. What you might not know is that the leap between devoted Roman Catholicism to paganism is not that big. It was also the move from Roman Catholicism to Wicca that healed my heart and engaged my body after my joining Unitarian Universalism had offered solace to my mind. Unitarian Universalism gave me theologies I could play with, toss into the air, shape with my mind, and decide what I thought about them. I engaged the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, as our principle says, with a vengeance. But my heart still needed healing. So let me tell you a story. I had been a very, very devout Roman Catholic youth and young woman. For 10 years, I was a mainstay in the music program of my church. I played the organ, handbells, harpsichord, piano, sang in two choirs, directed one, and cantored solo routinely. I loved what is called the liturgical year and the way it turned around the secular calendar. I loved God passionately, and I knew that God had no gender, but whatever, I could deal with the Our Father nonsense. And then, in my first year of college, at age 17, I came out. Overnight, I lost my community. My friends, my mentor, my fellow musicians, my religion, and I believed also the God behind it all. But for years afterwards, even after I claimed a pagan identity, I would go to the highest, most holy service of the church year, the Easter Vigil. If you can wrap your mind around the Easter Vigil and its impression on a young person, you may be able to understand why I was drawn to Wicca in the first place. It's the longest ceremony of the liturgical year. It can, not usually, but it can take up to 3 hours, which for a Roman Catholic service is really long. There are 7 potential readings you can do. Most people do like 3. But it is the ritual during which new Catholics are welcome to the community, and it includes the lighting of the new fire. Since Good Friday morning, the tabernacle has been open, and God has not been at home, which is what I used to call it when the consecrated bread was not in the tabernacle. Since Good Friday morning, the altar has been stripped of its cloth, the regular candles put out, and even that candle some call the eternal flame, the sign of the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle, has been extinguished. And then she realized that she had no page 5. Here we go. On Saturday night, after the morning's Holy Saturday service, that new fire is lit. In the center of the darkened, silent church, over dried palm leaves and kindling, a tiny fire is lit. And then fed and fed until it is large enough for all to see. This is the fire which will symbolize the return of the love, the one who was believed to have died but was coming again. And this is not even the most pagan piece. This is not even the piece that looked for so many years like paganism to me. The blessing of the Paschal candle, or the Easter candle, that is lit from the new fire and burns throughout the Easter season. Let me just explain this to you, and it's great that I'm holding a microphone because I can even like gesture with it and stuff. Take a long cylindrical object. Bless it with incense and mark it with the numbers of the year. And then dip it three times while saying an incantation into a giant round bowl of water. Yeah. In my early limited experience of pagan traditions, this clear symbol of fertility and blessing and the limitless ways that the holy unions of disparate elements can bless the community seemed to me the height of what? Something of the link between the traditions of my youth that I had loved and the tradition that I had come to embrace. What I mean to say here is that the leap was just not so big. Liturgy, that practice of ritualized worship, is the central practice that I love about my tradition. The active use of symbols and of those things, water, fire, smoke, food, that are given by earth, is also something they share. Unitarian Universalism allows for the theologies of various pagan and other groups, but we don't usually, there are exceptions, we don't usually have the really super symbol-laden liturgies. Wow, that was hard to say, of the Catholicism from which I came, or the Wicca to which I went, and where I was eventually initiated. My need for both progressive, intellectually rigorous theology, and for ritually grounded ethics, is why I am both an ordained minister in the tradition of Unitarian Universalism, and an initiated priestess in the tradition of Stone Circle Wicca. In Stone Circle Wicca, we consecrate knives and wands and candles with holy blessed water. We light candles on altars to symbolize the presence of the holy who is always with us and yet of whom we are not always aware. But we also move in circles and in spirals and stars, almost never in the proscenium arrangement of a theater. We carry the wand of responsibility and we pass it to others when it is time to lay it down for a while. Our communities are participatory. Our ethics, eco-feminist and queer-positive. Our commitments are to the deepening humanization of all people and to the care of the earth who is our first mother. In the tradition of Stone Circle Wicca, ethics, as in Unitarian Universalism, are central. We espouse four cardinal virtues of authenticity, integrity, compassion, and wisdom, one for each of the four directions, held always together by love. And we strive always to balance freedom with responsibility. As a result of our ethical aspirations, we have two sets of covenantal promises. One is the covenant that all members assert when they join us. And the other is a group of 9 promises made formally and ritually, the root of ethical responsibilities of leaders of the organization like me. And they go even further than those assertions of right relationship that members have. So let me share first from our code of conduct, that document of right relations. We will not engage in behaviors that support systems of oppression and dehumanization, words or actions that promote racism, sexism, homophobia, cissexism, ableism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, or any other system for the marginalization and subjugation of people. Neither will we engage in desecration behaviors that are inconsistent with the central Wiccan belief in the sacredness of Earth and of all in Earth's household. And from our leadership's 9 promises, number 6. I love these two because they remind me of UU stuff. I will use my power to balance the needs of the tradition as a whole with the needs of each member as a sacred individual. I will never sacrifice the well-being of one member of the community to any idea of the greater good, nor compromise the good of the whole to give preferential treatment to any one individual. That's really hard, right? And we struggle with that. We all struggle with that. Number 7, I will uphold Stone Circle Wicca as a community of free spirits, and I will never attempt to assert spiritual authority over another person or attempt to deprive them of their spiritual freedom. So these aspirational statements are aspirations we also struggle to attain in Unitarian Universalism today. But in Stone Circle Wicca, we make our promises, our covenant, by ritual and by vow, before witnesses of living persons, ancestors, and the mystery of the divine. I made my 9 promises in what is called a circle cast, in the holy place and time that is available at any place or time. Now that I think about it, many of us could learn some things about covenant from Stone Circle Wicca. We heard about covenant this morning, right? In the Time for All Ages. What is a covenant? A promise. When members sign the book in Unitarian Universalist congregations, what are we signing ourselves to? What are the promises we make and break and remake again? What are the promises that make us Unitarian Universalists? For me, in my practice as a priestess of Stone Circle Wicca, I do many things that look different from what we do here. I cast a circle. I draw a holy space that is all spaces. When I call my awareness to the 4 directions of the compass, I remind myself that the ground on which I am is always holy, this ground, this place. When I invite the spirits of the mighty dead, I acknowledge those whose complex legacy. Greta Thunberg would tell us that legacy is complex. That complex legacy I have inherited, and when I turn my attention to my descendants, though I have no children of my own, I think carefully about the legacy I will leave to them. And when I turn my attention to the divine mystery, what we in Stone Circle Wicca call one and many, male, female, all and none, I am turning the deepest yearnings of my heart outward toward the stars and inward toward my most secret sanctuaries. When I do these things, I am bringing myself into a new place of awareness and attention where the veils that would lead me to believe that earth and the body are unclean, unholy, unworthy of care and love, where those veils, those lies, are pulled aside, I bring myself to a place where I know that I, myself, and all of you are divine. That the molecules of our bodies were here at the beginning of time. Like, do you dig that? Right? The molecules that make up the water in my body, the hydrogen molecules, were here at the beginning of time. And my relationship in Wicca reminds me of that because it places me in the legacy and the long history of ancestors. I will never be destroyed, since neither energy nor matter can be destroyed. And I am unique in all of history and time. But what is most important about me in my tradition, the way we teach it, is that I am part of the big picture. Always and forever, as long as this universe exists, and maybe longer. And my practice of Wicca allows me to recognize impermanence, the permanence of change. When I celebrate the eight holidays of the Wheel of the Year that we observe, the four great Celtic fire festivals, and the solstices and equinoxes in between, I recognize in all things in the household of Earth, we embrace for a while and then let go. I recognize that there are times for delighting in the fertile fields and times for keeping what we can for this great bleakness, this rising tide to come. As we travel more and more deeply into the darkening part of the year, as tonight we meet the equinox, may our various theologies and practices uphold us, keep us well in body and in soul, and grant us the authenticity, integrity, compassion, and wisdom that the world needs now. May the darkening time bring us wisdom, consolation, and peace. Thank you so much for letting me tell my story.
Blessed be.
And blessed be.
Thank you, Catherine.